We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Under Armour. Welcome to Light Years. Andy, Lou, we got a special guest tonight.
Yes, sir.
Recording this Tuesday evening, we got our guy from Cron 4 News, Jason Dumas, joining us momentarily. Get to it. An off day edition here. We got some eventful news on the Warriors front today. Andrew Wiggins has returned from sabbatical. Completely unquestioned. We're supposed to believe this is a normal behavior of pro sports athlete. Wiggins is back. Are you surprised to hear he's back today?
It could not help yourself. I am surprised. I am surprised. I have no idea. I have no idea when he was going to be back. So nobody knows when he was going to be back. I'm surprised that he's back. I'm surprised that he's back and he's starting tomorrow night. You know what it feels like to me, Sam? You know what it feels like? It feels like the Warriors said, hey, man, you're coming back.
Yeah.
You're coming back. You're not doing the same shit as last year. You're coming back and you're playing. That's it. I think that's what happened. Last year they learned and they said
just showing up to practice, acting like it's nothing, like it's just normal to skip a road trip in general. I don't know. Like I just
well, they said flew in, so I guess he didn't stay in the Bay, but yeah.
Cool. He's back.
Where he was, yeah.
You know. I don't really know what else to say at this point about it. Glad he's back. First time the Warriors are going to have their full squad in November.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, first off, we have Draymond deciding to get suspended half the season. Chat's even right. Did they have GP2? This might be the first time they've been. It's definitely the first time they've been full while having some sense of identity, because they didn't really have an identity at the beginning of the season. They decided to sleepwalk through the beginning part like they always do. Gets suspended, and then Chris Paul gets hurt, and it's just been one thing. None of it's abnormal. It's an NBA season, right? But this is kind of the first time they've had their full squad together while everyone kind of has a feeling for knowing who they are. So that's exciting. It's a little exciting, light exciting thing to get going. All right, we got our special guest here now.
Hey, I'm sorry, guys. My producer wanted me to review an interview that we just produced before.
With who?
There. It's nothing crazy. We just talked to Tar Vanderveer today.
Yeah, no big deal.
It's a legend.
No big deal.
Yeah, you know, they just mollywopped the conference awards. They won Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved, and Coach of the Year. So,
jeez,
it was supposed to be a down year for them too, and they just ran through the.
How good are they? I don't. Forgive me. I don't
they
know.
Are. They the AP rankings came back out today. They're number two in the country.
Gee, is college women's basketball more popular than men's?
I mean, this it is year? in this newsroom. We cover the women more than the men, especially because Cal and Stanford men haven't given us much. But I mean, St. Mary's is good; they can make a run.
Does anybody watch college men's basketball? Who Is there a single basketball player that matters in college men's basketball this year?
It's a down year for college men's hoop.
For sure.
It's huge for women's right now. It's not just Caitlin Clark, like Cameron Brink, Angel Reese. Like they got the fact that I can name more women's players than men's players kind of speaks to who's resonating. It's cool for them in general. Yeah, yeah. I do think it's just kind of also just kind of a freak down year for men's college basketball. There's usually a couple teams or players who like just get your attention, even if you don't like college hoops. And it's just not the case this year.
So, yeah, it's not.
Unless you're a Reed Sheppard guy.
He's all right.
Oh,
his name is Reed Sheppard. He's got to be white.
White boy from Kentucky.
Got to be.
Yep. Think Tyler Herro.
I know.
You think right, so? You go. Think that's a comp? Not pods? obviously, those are the two spectrum of white guards, right? So,
Tyler. Hey, we're talking about your boy, Andrew Wiggins. He's back.
Yeah.
You were there today. What was it like when he was returned?
Well, it was funny because it wasn't many of us there today in the media room waiting for practice to open up. It was probably like six of us. And
that's it?
Yeah, just what? You know, I guess the Warriors aren't garnering all that attention they are.
Anybody right work anymore?
Seriously. We were there and we see the Shams tweet come through and we're like, oh, wow. All right. Wiggins is on his way to the Bay. All right. So we're assuming like he'll probably be in street clothes tomorrow, sitting on the bench. And then they open practice and we walk in and he's in a full sweat. So it was weird because the tweet was framed like he's on his way to the Bay right now. Then we walk into practice and he's clearly already in the Bay. So it was kind of, we all got caught off guard because we didn't think he was here yet based on how that report was framed initially. And, after that, I watched him work out for about an hour. And then he talked to us. Obviously, he's kind of an introverted cat. He didn't give us much intel. We still have no idea what the nature of his absence was and, you know, why. All we know is a personal reason. But he said things that I took away. He said he worked out a couple of times over the week and a half, but it wasn't a priority for him. He watched every Warriors game. He thought they looked like they were having fun, and he said, whenever we have fun out there, we tend to play our best. He did say that whatever is going on in his personal life is still going on now, but he thought it was the appropriate time to rejoin the team. He was smiling and stuff, and he was joking around with Jacob Rubin a lot and Chris Weems out there on the court. It seems like he's in good spirits, but that's kind of the main takeaways I got from him talking to him today.
Sounds like someone that I was telling Sam that I it feels like that they just told to come back. The Warriors just told him, like, come on, let's go. Versus last year, it felt like a go ahead and take your time. 2 months go around. It's like, all right, where are we? Come on.
And yeah. So
they said, all right, go do your thing, whatever you got to do. But unless someone's dying, your ass is back in the gym. Like, that's just what it feels like to me.
Yeah. And, you know, I asked him how he's managing his emotions. Like, you're back here on the court now. How can you compartmentalize? And he said, you know, his teammates just keep me upbeat. And, you know, when I'm here, it's all business. And I know when to turn it on and when to turn it off, but I'm back here now and I'm focused on basketball. But it's a very weird situation, you know. I've never seen anything like it in my professional career covering anybody who just 2 years in a row takes time off for whatever reason without there being any transparency. You can speak to what people are entitled to, what people aren't entitled to, but the fact is, it is a very unique situation that I haven't really seen before all that often.
Do you think it's been handled correctly by the Warriors in general? Do you think they're happy with the way it's playing out. Clearly.
Well, it's hard.
End of the day, he was gone for a week, which no one will think anything of. It's just because last year he disappeared for 2 months that everyone kind of threw their hands in the air in general, you know?
Yeah. So it's hard to, like, without knowing what exactly is keeping him away, it's hard to answer that question fully. But I definitely, just based off body language last year, I haven't noticed it this year, but based off body language last year, I think there were some guys who are like, all right, we need you. We get personal things happen in everyone's lives, but at some point you have an obligation to us as well. And I think that they, a lot of people got to that point last year. This year, like you said, it was only a week. So I couldn't read any body language. Of course, also they were on the road the entire time, so I didn't get to interact with anybody. So it's hard to answer it. But, you know, obviously there's conversations being had behind closed doors, and I'm sure they're probably a little more forthcoming to him behind closed doors than they would ever be publicly. You know, Steve's going to say the right thing. You know, the Warriors pride themselves in being a player-friendly organization. An accepting organization. So there probably were some conversations had behind the scenes that were a little more upfront than what had maybe played out publicly. But I can't answer it for sure. I mean, shoot, man. They've been pretty good, honestly, about not leaking out any real info. Even the reporting last year and even this year has been kind of a little even all over the place. Like, clearly, Shams thought he was on his way to the Bay when he tweeted that, but he was there. He was there, and then I think it was the Chronicle or Merc News. They said he was here last night. So even now, like, no one really knows. Last year, I reported that he was back in the Bay, and then a week later, it was like 3 days later when he, like, actually, like, reemerged. The Athletic reported that, like, he had just got back, but, you know, I stand on my reporting. So there's been a lot, there's a lot of posturing, and a lot of the posturing is being done by the people who it matters to the most, you know, the organization. So there's been a lot of stuff fed to people and given to people that are a little inaccurate.
All right. Sam, we thoughts, more thoughts? I'm done. Done with this.
I'm done with it too.
Yeah,
it's right. Like my only thought on this is you reveal kind of who's had real responsibilities in their lives and who is a child tweeting for attention on the internet. But anyway, that's a different conversation. I think the more interesting thing and the thing I want to get into is Moses Moody. Nice little spell when Wiggins was out. You know, he's kind of taken advantage of this little spin that Wiggins has been out. And I'm kind of curious what happens to him in the rotation, because we're back to the same. They're not a great team. I don't think anyone's going to confuse the Warriors for a great team, even though they've figured some stuff out and they're clearly winning games. But they do have a numbers crunch any way you want to slice it.
Absolutely.
And so I'm trying to figure out, what do you think this means for Moses Moody? Do you think, because Steve Kerr did say today that I have to get Moses minutes. I've also heard him say I have to get Moses minutes four other times this year. Then, you know, he just kind of always the guy who gets a short end of the stick rotation wise. So what do you guys think is going to happen there? Do you think he's actually going to get 20 minutes a game, or do you think we're going to be back to what we saw earlier part of the season where he's kind of the odd man out?
It's tough because I think Steve believes, like, he believes what he's saying, but then in the moment when he's going through his rotations and he's looking down at that bench and he sees like six capable guys of playing, he's going to eventually revert to what he prefers. And clearly Moses isn't not what he's always preferred, or he'd been playing more regularly as of now. Like, it's a kind of a tough spot to be in because, in my opinion, outside of Steph and Draymond, the rest of the players on the roster, really none of them have done enough to, like, separate themselves where it's like, no, he deserves this X amount of minutes and he deserves, like, Steph, Draymond, they have to be on the court. They have to play enough. And, you know, those are the two most important pieces. And then there's a bunch of guys. It's almost like night to night you can play it.
Right.
It's just hard because that's not what a coach prefers. It, like, makes a coach, like, literally night after night make, like, uncomfortable, tough decisions, which is just, like, taxing. He won't say that out loud, but it's just a pain in the ass.
It has to be, because more often than not, I mean – you're not going to make the right decisions, especially when they're coin flip decisions. That's why everybody should or could play, is because there's really not that much of a difference between Chris Paul, Pajemski, Moody, Andrew Wiggins at this point. And that's, I mean, honestly, it's probably more of a testament to like Wiggins and guys like Clay, where it's like, you guys should be better. Maybe not in Clay's point, but definitely Wiggins, where it's like, you should be better, but you're just not. So now you're in this minutes crunch. I think what's interesting, and I was looking at this earlier, do you know how many minutes Pajemski averaged in the month of February?
I do not. Not all.
It's top. He's right next to Steph in terms of minutes per game.
It is. He played 32 minutes per game in the month of February. And we all love Pajemski, but that's too many minutes. I'd imagine.
He said that today.
Who did?
Pajemski Pop? Said that today.
What did he say?
The best part. That's how I knew it.
He said, "I have the best plus minus." Oh, I missed that.
He was pissed that he didn't get any votes for Western Conference Rookie of the Month, sent a tweet out about it. And I asked him about it today, and he went
I'll pull up your video. We can watch it together real quick.
He went through his rookie stats.
Someone tweeted out the Western Conference Rookie of the Month rankings, and you put a little note above it. The little things like that still motivate you when you don't see your name.
100%. I mean, I played every game in February, went 11-3. Led our team in plus minus, led all the rookies in plus minus.
That's facts.
That look at, awesome. You know, helping your team win. I led in those categories, and I think
he wants to fight someone.
He like closed it in saying he was like, basically every stat that measures wins, I let it in.
So, I like that chip on the shoulder. He's kind of got a little Draymond to him in that way.
Pods Muse, first in plus minus, first in assist, first in 10-5-5, best assist to turnover ratio. We knew that. Third in rebounds.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I do think Andy's point, though, I kind of agree with you. It's not about Pods' minutes. It's not about Clay's minutes. It's not about Chris Paul's minutes. It's not about Wiggins' minutes or Kuminga's minutes. It's like, if you can just find a way to get 2 to 3 minutes off each of those guys, that's Moses Moody's entire role right there. That's kind of, and you just see it so much with the Warriors, where he tends to be the guy who like gets 5 minutes in the first half, and then Steve gets stuck in the middle of a game and he never sees the floor again. Right.
Yeah. And like, I do think people perked their eyebrows up when, you know, Lester was in the rotation and Moses wasn't. And I know there's an argument to be had that Steve prefers Lester in that like traditional guard sense more than Moses. But I just think Moses, you know, I think he's just built up too much equity within the organization over the last couple of years that he should deserve the benefit of the doubt. Cause it's not like he comes out there and he hurts the team or anything. Like you got really lucky that he is just an extremely emotionally mature person for his age, keeps his head down, doesn't put up a fuss. Like we saw when it was happening to Jonathan Kuminga ran to, who was it, the Athletic, and said, "I don't trust Steve Kerr anymore."
And legendary night.
And it wasn't even really like you couldn't even blame him. Right. So you're lucky you don't have two guys like that. Moses is the guy who's going to bite the bullet and do the right thing. Like I think he should get rewarded for that.
Why do you think he's had such a hard time staying on the floor? Because this is like Steve's a lot of things, but he's not like a hater. Like there's a reason in his mind. I think we all disagree with it, but there's absolutely a basketball reason in his mind why he's doing it.
I mean, I know at one point they thought he had a turnover issue. And he, you know, just like
Sam rolling his eyes.
He was loose with the ball, you know. They're all loose with the ball.
Have you seen this team?
Right.
I'm not laughing at you, Jason. But
no, I know what you mean. But like, I'm like Sam. It's like Steve has a reason. I just don't necessarily agree with it. And I just think that, you know, like, basketball is all merit-based, and it's not really like you deserve this and you deserve that. But even with that being said, with all Moses has done on the court, off the court, how he conducts himself, I think he deserves better. That's
if you're talking about merit-based, then Wiggins should have sat months ago. Klay should have had his minutes stripped months ago. Lester Quiñones is technically a better
Anthony
guard defender.
And go down that path again.
Thank you. That's my favorite one. But yeah, like, what? Lester Quiñones is not Drew Holiday here, man. Like, cut the shit. And Lester Quiñones is not Steph Curry on the ball, man. Like, he's not even Jordan Poole on the ball. Like, he's not providing stuff that is so good that Moses Moody can't do. Stop. And that's where it never made sense.
So here's my working theory. You guys tell me if this makes sense or not. He doesn't think Moses Moody's a guard. Doesn't think he can handle like a guard. He doesn't think he can guard guards. He thinks, you know, and honestly, there's legitimate reasons to think that. He thinks he's a wing or a forward type of player. And then when you're talking about those front court players, he's not as good as Wiggins. He's not as good as Klay. He's not as good as Kuminga. So he just kind of ends up being the fourth guy in that rotation. And Steve likes to play guards probably more than he should. So he just ends up the odd man out at kind of a position there. I don't want to say deep at, but like, he's going to always turn to Klay or Wiggins over Moody for that swingman role more so than he turns to Moody. And like, my pushback to that has always been, why are they the only team that needs four ball handlers on the floor? Like, why can't they figure out how to play with like a couple wings and just two ball handlers, you know?
Steph, go dribble the ball more. Draymond, stop turning the ball over. Right. You know, I agree. Why does Corey Joseph need to be the second ball handler or the third ball handler? Nobody asked for that.
Do you need Chris Paul, Pods, and Steph on there at the exact same time, you know? And I like all those
defend
guys.
Defend a soul.
I don't know.
Yeah, that theory makes sense. That theory makes sense, you know, from a rational standpoint. It's just like, you know, like, he shoots it at a high clip. As of late, he gets every loose ball. It's like, the thing is, I know Steve likes playing small ball and he loves his guards. He was a guard. But my thing is, like, Moses Moody isn't killing you when he's on the court. No. Like, if he was on the court and he's killing you, it's like, all right, well, it's like, I get it. And like, now we got to like find a better role for this guy so he's not killing us because we know he's talented. It's not even that. It's like, there's no drop off when he gets on the court. There's none that I've really noticed. So I just don't get it. And I thought he was going to get traded during the deadline.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to do him a solid. I know his, you know, I know, like I said, Moses ain't the guy who's going to be voicing his frustrations. But trust me, he has a whole family and team of people who would like to see him flourish a little more.
It's a normal want. Like, if he had a role in a rotation, I don't know if he's upset, but like, he only has a role when guys are injured. Obviously, you're going to want to see if you can find a new team if they're not going to. You know, like, let's just assume you're like the seventh man. You're coming in 22 minutes a game. At least you know that's your role. He doesn't have that with consistency right now. So,
yeah, I it's not like this team is a two seed. You know, they're not the Denver Nuggets out there. They're a pretty mediocre team. And frankly, like, I don't really see them being that much more different. And I know there are some people's arguments that are like, well, what if you did give Moody a lot of minutes? What would change? I mean, I don't know. I tell you what, I saw some pretty shitty minutes though this season from a lot of different players that some of them either aren't playing or aren't on this team anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you should give more minutes because you're not that good and he can continue to improve.
Yes.
Like, yes. What are you really getting out of, you know, I don't want to pick on anyone, but like, pick anyone over 30, you know?
It's my favorite. Dario Saric being one of them.
Big game for the Warriors tomorrow. We're recording this Tuesday night, playing the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis, questionable for that game. So this kind of goes from a game you might have put on the schedule as a loss to very winnable. It's at home. Milwaukee's on the road. We don't know that they're going to be whole. Even if they were whole, you can potentially win this game. And we're at that point in the season where every game matters for the Warriors. They're three back from being like the 5-6 seed. Being able to win against a game against Milwaukee is the type of thing that actually moves you up the standings. Because when you look at the schedule, you're like, all right, this is probably an L, but they're going to win on Thursday against Chicago, you know, that sort of thing. And that's why this is, in my opinion, the Under Armour game of the week. This game has everything for the Warriors to kind of steal one and move up the standings. They're going against a Milwaukee team who's playing really well right now, but they are on the road and they are dealing with a banged up Giannis. I don't know what you think, Andy. I think there's a real opportunity here.
Steve Kerr versus Doc Rivers, the Under Armour matchup of the week, where they love playing veterans. Actually, to your point, Doc Rivers has turned around the Milwaukee Bucks, man. He saw something that nobody knew, that everybody knew, that the team was horribly coached. So, yeah, man, the Milwaukee Bucks have been amazing. Damian Lillard got a big one. He looked like Portland Dame. He's been struggling this year. That's probably my mini micro matchup of the week, is Damian Lillard against this Warriors team. Because if I had to guess, Samuel, I'm going to say Giannis probably isn't playing. Chris Middleton's already out. So this will be your old-fashioned Steph versus Dame. That's as good as it gets.
So it's a classic, you know.
It'll basically be those good Portland teams versus the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean it's art every time because the Warriors never lose those games. It's the best. It's the best. Doesn't get any better than that. This last month's Light Years podcast is brought to you by Game Time. You shouldn't have to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. You can actually see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last-minute seats. You can find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. With zone deals, you pick the section, Game Time picks the seats for big-time savings. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and the same row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account. Use code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account. Redeem code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed.
I say we have a little fun. Andy, I haven't talked with you about this. Jason, I want your thoughts on it. The awards. We are three quarters of the way through the season here. And like every other person on this, I am on the Bet Online email list, which lets me know up to the date awards. And I know I was just looking at it. I hadn't really put too much thought to it. And I was just curious where you guys were at it. It's kind of interesting. They are saying Jokic is the favorite to win the MVP right now, but Shea's right behind him. Then Luka, Giannis is probably going to take a little bit of a hit given he's probably injured. Tatum, who apparently is a lightning rod for MVP talk, and I think you can drop it off after that. I don't know, Jason. What do you think? If you had a vote, and you were, and you had to make a decision today, where's your head at with the MVP?
Like, head is Jokic, obviously. He's best player. I think you got to give Jokic the award, but. You know, people want to do that whole storyline type MVP. It would be Shea. But it's one of those two. I don't think there's a close third.
Not buying Luka?
Nah. Nah. What are they, like the fifth seed, sixth seed?
I think they're like the seven or eight seed.
They're like the seven. I think they have the same amount of losses as the Warriors.
One less.
Their team is just not good enough. I think it has
Steph the MVP then.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it has to be the Jokic or Shea. I can see Shea winning it just based off voter fatigue, but I mean, Jokic has been the best player in the league this year from start to finish, and it's not like the Thunder are that much better than the the Nuggets from a record standpoint. So yeah. I would give it to Jokic.
I think it says a lot about Jason Tatum that he's not at least in the conversation, realistically.
Eastern Conference, I think. I think he's this East. Like, it's like, dude, the East sucks.
Do you – but, like, I mean, I think Tatum's an excellent player. Do you – would you take him over any of the top three?
I'm just saying, strip away the name and the playoff failures and all that stuff. And just think of the guy who's the best player on a team that's lost 12 times, probably gonna win like 65 games this season.
13.
And he's not. Oh yeah, they choked tonight. That's right. Has only lost 13 times, and he's not in the top five. And so it's a little.
There's a perception about him that's
right.
I don't know what exactly the perception is, but it's. The perception is clearly he's not an MVP. And usually if you just go by kind of the standard that award right. has gone to, you would think he would be right there.
Right, because it's not like, you know, his team is really good, but it's not like he's playing next to the freaking Avengers here. Like, he's not.
No, they're just solid across the board. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, Drew's good. You know, Kristaps is good, plays half the games. Jaylen Brown's good. He's really good if you leave him wide open, if you're the Warriors. But, like, they're just a good team. And I think I agree, right? Jokic's just the best player in the world. He's going to win the MVP again, third one. But it is always interesting to me that they don't even talk about Tatum when, I don't know, like, if the season ended today, isn't just Nuggets Celtics? In the finals, probably.
I mean, here's those why 18. Tatum. Here's why Tatum has a or why Tatum has a voter issue. If the season ended today, I would bet money Denver makes the finals. I would not bet money on the Celtics, even though they're the favorites in the East. And I would absolutely buy that there's a realistic chance they get out of it. I don't trust them. I don't trust them.
Yeah.
It's not fair to him because the regular season should have nothing to do with like 2 year ago of playoff or anything like that. But that's on my mind. That's what I keep thinking of every time I see him. So
yeah, he's got voter fatigue, but voter fatigue, not because he's won, just voter fatigue because he just always just in the 4-8 zone and he just doesn't win a title. So maybe in the comments have brought this up. I'd imagine if the Celtics win the championship this season that he's going to be right in there for MVP next year. Like that's probably what he needs. And obviously although they're running a PR campaign for Tatum right now. So we'll see how that goes, but it doesn't look like Jason Brown.
Let me put it this way. If Anthony Edwards had the same season Tatum is having,
right.
Is he the leading candidate for the MVP now?
100%.
Probably.
Yeah. Because we haven't seen him choke away four different playoff series, you know? So,
right.
Although I guess that didn't stop Harden from winning the MVP when he won it. But anyway,
Harden was crying. Him and Embiid, man, they were just crying nonstop about MVP. Your boy, by the way.
Embiid was going to win it this year again if he didn't get hurt.
I mean, when does he not get hurt? I mean, if it wasn't going to be now, it would be in the postseason. So it's like, you know,
he's going to come back mid-April and they're going to have no pressure. And it's going to do wonders for them.
They're going to take the Celtics out in the first round. The Sixers are because Embiid was so good this year before he got hurt. Actually, to Kuminga might have been one of the biggest reasons. Actually, unfortunately,
seriously, just sat on his leg.
I don't know why he did that, but people haven't talked about that much. But that was a crazy play.
Come on, it was.
He just dove. Yeah, I don't know. It seemed kind of crazy.
That's what Curry and them wanted from him. That's what Kerr and them wanted from him, the fake hustle. So he dove for a ball he had no chance at getting so he could show his coaches that he's trying really hard and ruptured everything in Embiid's knee.
Well, hopefully he'll be back mid-April. Is that true? Back in a month?
Yeah. He's probably going to come back with like a week or two before the regular season's over.
All right.
He wants to be healthy. I hate to say it. And this is not a report. This is just my opinion based on what I'm like just seeing. That man wants to be healthy for Team USA.
Oh my God. Why? What does that matter?
Because he wants to play for Team USA. Like he's really going.
His only chance of winning hardware. That's why.
Dude, they were like really Grant Hill and Steve Kerr were like legitimately recruiting him like Coach K, like recruiting some like young kid in freaking Akron or something.
Got it.
What do you think about Team USA?
I think they're going to win the gold because I think the adults are going to be in the room and the adults will care.
Yeah.
And the adults are Steph, LeBron.
You'll think Durant. Josh Hart's playing center?
No. I think, yeah, you know, like the adults will be in the room and they're going to care. The three pillars of the last like two generations of NBA basketball will be there and they're going to care and everyone's going to fall in line. And it's probably going to be like 2008 where, you know, they might have some tough games because there's other talent out there. But at the end of the day, they're not fucking losing.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have your point, like Embiid and Anthony Davis. I know Jokic is the best, but you've got enough bigs to throw at him in a full game. And then obviously everyone else, it's the documentary will be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, like the three guys of the last generation, like that, that's probably none of those three guys are winning championships this season. And so this is kind of their crowning achievement.
And Steph's never won a gold medal.
We'll see if they all get there healthy. I'm skeptical that everyone's body is going to be in the right place, but it's in Paris. I understand the allure, you know.
Yeah,
everyone wants to go. I think if everyone's healthy, they'll go. But we'll see.
You don't think
happens.
Kawhi's making it to Paris, Sam? You don't think Kawhi's those ligaments are going to get there?
You know, I think he'll probably miss this one, but we'll
see. He is on the team. He is on the team. They do. I think Ansa maybe. They do have Devin Booker. I don't know why they need him, but they
it's
Devin
weird.
Booker.
Did you see who they said were the locks who already gave commitments?
What yeah, was it was dudes who were on the gold medal team, I guess 3 years ago, right? In 21.
It was like Embiid. It was Embiid, Drew Holiday.
Yes, sir.
Devin Booker. Booker.
Tatum.
Tatum. Yeah. So it was like, yeah, so they'll have guys like that. And like I said, once you if LeBron and Steph are your captains and they care, like everyone's gonna fall in line and just fall into their role. Those are the two guys.
I'm excited. I'm excited. This is all we've got as Warriors fans. This is right before LeBron joins the Golden State. I bring it up every show. This is Sam's favorite topic. So
I mean, we'll not as crazy. It doesn't sound as crazy as it you would think it like a year ago. Like they talked about it. That my jaw was dropped when I heard Draymond talking about it. Did you hear him talking so freely about it? And he was like. Kuminga got to stay. Like they were talking about this.
I love how they don't even give a fuck about tampering or any of the stuff that like a decade ago is like, oh, you can't say that. You know, it's like you got to be a little careful. Now it's just like, oh yeah, we were talking, but we can't trade JK. It's too good. You know, it's just like,
I'm surprised. Like I'm honestly surprised that didn't get talked about as much that specific clip because Melo was like, JK's gone. Klay is gone. And Draymond immediately said, no, JK has to stay. He didn't even acknowledge Klay's name.
Klay stay.
He said, no, JK got to stay. I couldn't believe, like you said, Sam, like they don't care. They were just so transparent with it.
They can just put like bullshit 2K talk at any time. And it's just like, all right, whatever. At this point, it's I don't know. Maybe it is in the cards. Maybe Andy's right. Maybe Andy will get his way. I don't want it to happen. I'm still anti. I can't.
It would be mesmerizing as like someone covering the team.
I've always said this. If it happens, I will not hate. I will be into it just like everyone else. But until it happens, I'd prefer it doesn't. You know, like
it's the same thing as someone were to tell you Chris Paul was coming to the Warriors. Like if you can get behind Chris Paul, you can get behind LeBron, right?
That's when I heard Chris Paul's coming, I laughed. I'm like, I'm in. It's exact same thing. It's like if it happens, I'm like, well, I can't this is better than whatever, you know, vet men they're gonna get. So I'll get in line with it.
With Chris Paul, I never bought it and I never will and I still don't. But with LeBron, it's just like, man, you know, it's just I'm not even here sitting here and saying like it's just gonna work. It's just gonna be so successful. Honestly, like you look at this team and you're like, really, do they have a real chance? At least with Steph and LeBron, it's just entertainment.
Yeah.
It's just peak A1 entertainment, those two guys. No idea what's going to happen, but I don't know. We'll see. Lakers look good, so we'll see. But again, so do the Warriors. Then again.
All right, we can end it here. Jason, really appreciate you hopping on.
Always, as always. Thanks for having me.
Have a great one, dude.